What do we do with our own flaws and failings? What is God really like? How do we grow in our relationship with Him? Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly message from Guymyer Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Matt Willis, Youth and Young Adults Coordinator at GBC, and I hope that you hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message. As a community of faith, this is what we are passionate about: people hearing and responding to the invitation of God to join in His mission to renew everything in Jesus. This week, in the final message from our series, Songs of the People, Brett Robinson invites us to explore Psalm 106 and discover the power of bringing our failures before a merciful God.
At church, I hope your holidays are going well, and I will be reading Psalm 106 with Jacob Martin. My name's Evander Lawler, and I will be reading 126. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord, or fully declare His praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favour to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation, and join in your inheritance of giving praise. We have sinned, even as our ancestors have. We have done wrong and acted wickedly.
And I'm Jacob, reading 19 to 23. At Horeb, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them?
Well, this week we are concluding our series titled Songs of the People. And this sermon, this message, the psalm that we're having a look at this week is a unique psalm. It is one of five psalms that the scholars have identified as being historical psalms. That is, one of five psalms that look in the rearview mirror and have a look back at the history of Israel. And the reason they do this is to reflect on the past and to learn a lesson as they move forward. And we can see this being explained in the first of these five psalms, in Psalm 78. From verse 2, it reads, "I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. They will not be like our ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God and whose spirits were not faithful to Him." I don't know if you picked up in that intro, but there are two key elements that come through within these historical psalms. The first one is the praiseworthiness of God. That is, God's actions and deeds that reveal His mercy and grace to us. And the second element is the unfaithfulness of the Israelite people, how the people have failed God. Now, these psalms, as they look in the rearview mirror and look back on the past, are not a history lesson, so to speak, because these are stories that the Israelites already know. And in fact, as we read these psalms, they are stories that we are familiar with. But each psalm, like a kaleidoscope, looks at different aspects of the past and reveals a certain intention or message that is for that psalm. Psalm 78 focuses on the mistakes of the Israelites in the past and how God showed mercy and grace towards them. Then the psalm points to how God has chosen David, and then under David's kingship, there is hope. Psalm 135 is a psalm of praise that focuses on God's deeds in Israel's history. It shows how God is better than any other God, how God provides and rescues his people. Psalm 105, which is the psalm directly before the one that we're looking at today, is another psalm of praise that talks about God's wonders and miracles. It highlights God's promises and how he provides for his people. It talks about how God judges Egypt and ultimately how God shows mercy when he rescues his people. So as we get to today's psalm, Psalm 106, it follows on from Psalm 105, and it begins in a similar fashion by praising the Lord. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. However, it's not long before this psalm takes a very sharp dog leg and changes its tune very, very quickly. In fact, the majority of the psalm itself focuses on the failures of the Israelite people in the past. And it also highlights God's mercy and grace in the midst of those actions. The psalm talks about how the people forgot how God rescued them, how they tested God in the wilderness. But then it points to how God provides when they ask for things. It talks about how they grow envious of Moses and Aaron and how they suffer consequences of their actions. They make a calf out of gold and they worship it, yet God shows them mercy. It talks about how they despised the promised land and they followed other gods. And God again shows them mercy. And finally, how the Israelites have completely and utterly defiled themselves. However, whilst this psalm focuses on the repeated cycle of the Israelites failing to love God, yet God ultimately showing them mercy and grace, the key verse of this psalm is verse 6. We have sinned, even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. This psalm, unlike the other historical psalms, is not just a reminder about the mistakes of the Israelites in the past, but it is implicating the current generation who are reading this psalm. For they have sinned like their ancestors did. The word sin in Hebrew is chata, and ultimately sin in short refers to a failure to hit a target or a failure to reach a goal. If an archer shoots an arrow towards a target and misses, the archer has chata, the archer has sinned because they have failed to hit the target. Sin is a failure for us to honour God and to love God in the way that God has intended. We have chatted God's intention for us to love and honour him. But it goes more than this. It goes deeper than this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we are told that humanity is created in the image of God. And when Jesus is questioned about what the greatest commandment is in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus responds with, to love God and to love others. A failure for us to love others, other people who are created in the image of God, is ultimately a failure for us to love and honour God. And so sin is failing in our relationship to love God as He intended and to love others as God had created us to. And this is what the psalmist is focusing on in this psalm. The psalmist is highlighting how throughout Israel's history, their ancestors have ultimately failed to love and honour God, and they have failed to love and honour each other. But the psalmist is implicating not only their ancestors, but the current generation. We have failed to love God and love each other. And it's this "we" which is unique for these historical psalms. Other psalms look at the past and they work out what the lesson is or what the hope is for the future. But we are implicated. The psalmist is putting themselves right into the picture here. It is not just the shortcomings and failures of their ancestors, but of themselves as well. And so the invitation for the readers is to include themselves in that. And that is the implication and the invitation for us as well, to realize and acknowledge that we too have failed in our love for God and in our love for each other. And this can be really difficult for us to talk about, I think, and to address, because it is challenging and it is difficult to acknowledge the fact that we have failed in our relationship and we do fail in our relationship with God and with each other. And there are a number of reasons why this could be challenging and difficult for us. On one hand, there could be pride, the fact that we think that, okay, well, maybe I'm not perfect, but I'm not really that bad. I'm a pretty good person. Well, the psalmist is reminding us that no, all of us have fallen short of the target. Or perhaps in the busyness of life, we are just so caught up with everything that is going on that when it comes to our relationship with God and our relationship with other people, that we become a little bit apathetic, that we've run out of energy and we're just distracted by too many other things. Well, the psalmist is reminding us that we are being called to focus and to pay attention in this moment right now and to remember that relationship. Or perhaps there's greed and selfishness and envy that is completely distracting us from our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. Maybe we are focused on our career or obtaining our wealth or status. Well, the psalmist is reminding us that there are consequences for the way in which we live when we live selfish or greedful or envious lives. Or perhaps shame is something that is holding us down. This sense of feeling unworthy or distressed about the very fact that we are all too aware of the mistakes that we have made. We are all too aware of the fact that we're not perfect. We're all too aware of our own shortcomings, and acknowledging those things and bringing them out into the light can be an incredibly painful experience to do. Yet, regardless of why or how it is painful or difficult for us to talk about our own failures, ultimately, if we are genuinely honest with ourselves, we know that we have failed, and we do fail in our relationship with God and in our relationship with other people. We know that we failed in our relationship with God. Who can honestly say that they have a perfect relationship with their Creator? Who can say that they give every moment of their lives to walking in His ways? And we know that we fail in our relationships as well. There are broken relationships, broken families, lost friendships, and our attitude to strangers, to the other, can actually indicate to us as well that we fall short of the target. We miss the target. We fall short of that goal. Well, while the psalmist is inviting the reader to acknowledge our own failure in loving God and loving others, there is hope. The psalmist is reminding that even though their ancestors stuffed it up time and time and time again, and even though that there are consequences to actions, that God was merciful to them time and time again. And so towards the end of the psalm, the psalmist summarizes with this: many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion and they wasted away in their sin. Yet he took note of their distress. When he heard their cry for their sake, he remembered his covenant. And out of his great love, he relented. He caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. And then the psalmist's plea is this: save us, Lord, our God. The psalmist points to God's mercy in the past and calls on him to be merciful once more. The psalmist is aware that when we look at the past, when we look at the rearview mirror, when we look at the lives of our ancestors, we can see God being merciful time and time and time again. And so God will be merciful once more. Well, as followers of Jesus, we know of God's ultimate expression of mercy and grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. What an incredible ointment for the soul that is, to know that in Christ, God has been incredibly merciful to us. The price that we ought to have paid for our own sin is borne by him on the cross. And through his resurrection, we are invited into a new life. We have been risen with Christ, a new life in him. So, if we are saved through Jesus, why should we still now acknowledge our own failures with the relationship we have with God and with others? Well, firstly, acknowledging our failure is part of repentance. It's part of turning back to God. While Psalm 106 is requesting God to be merciful once again, the psalmist is ultimately taking the reader on a journey of repentance. The psalmist is acknowledging that we too have sinned and fallen short. But just as our ancestors did, God was showing mercy to them and he is merciful to us. It is by God's grace that we are saved. And if we aren't able to acknowledge that we have failed to love God and failed to love others, then how can we walk in that mercy and grace? Thinking back to our pride, if we are not able to recognize that we have fallen short of the target of loving God and loving others, it's kind of like singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a pretty good, not really that bad kind of person like me. It just doesn't quite cut it. It falls short when we fail to recognize and realize our own shortcomings. Secondly, acknowledging our failures contributes to our own spiritual healing, our growth and maturity. We may be saved by grace through faith in Jesus, but we are also invited to heal, grow, and mature as we move towards living a full and blessed life as God had intended humanity to live. As those who are whole life learners, this journey begins the moment we first believe, and it continues and finds its completion when we step into glory. The purpose of acknowledging our failings and confessing them to God is ultimately not one of condemnation, but conviction. It doesn't lead us towards destruction, but towards deliverance. Acknowledging our failings is not designed to humiliate us, but to humble us. When we do this, it leads us into a vulnerable yet loving, sacred space between us and God, where we can acknowledge to Him how we have failed. And in that space, we have this opportunity to ask the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives as we desire to live a life according to His plan, as we seek to love God with all our heart and we seek to love others as ourselves. So if you get nothing else out of today's message, then know this, that you have an invitation to bring all of your failings to God. And in that space, you are met with God's incredible mercy. And that mercy enables us to build a relationship with Him where we can find healing and restoration, not only with God, but with others as well. And so if you are realizing this for the first time today, let me invite you to pray this prayer right now. Let's pray. God, right now, I bring to You the immense failings, how I have failed You and how I have failed others. Lord, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You for Your mercy, for Your grace and Your love that You show to me in Him. Help me to live my life in a way that You have designed in Your mercy as I love You and as I love others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The invitation of Psalm 106 is not into condemnation, but into life. When we confess our failings before God and they are met with the mercy of our loving Heavenly Father, relationship is built. And that's extraordinary. Perhaps this week you might want to make space, perhaps for the first time, to bring your failings before God. But as you do, take time to hear and experience the mercy of God, whose love for us is unending. We'd love to hear from you as you hear and respond to the invitation of God. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at guymebaptist.org.au. May your eyes and ears be open and your heart soft to the invitation of the Spirit to join in God's renewing work in Jesus. God bless.